And it is Jared and the GM on ESPN 102.5 The Game. No, I am not Jared Stillman. He is off today. He'll be back tomorrow. I'm Ryan Porth alongside Floyd Reese on your drive home this beautiful Monday afternoon in Music City. Floyd, what's going on?
You know what? You've got the voice down, but you got to get the whole hand thing.
You know? I'll do that next time.
Yeah. I mean, you got to get, holla, you know.
I'll do that next time. We look forward to Jaron being back in this same chair tomorrow afternoon starting at 2. But right now, we're going to get into another ranking that Athlon's NFL Preview Magazine came out with. And I was looking at this last night when I first got a glance at this wonderful magazine. I mean, it's, you know, I'm kind of like a kid. I mean, if there's colors and big pictures, I you know, it pops. But the quarterback rankings in the NFL, Athlon came out with their top 30.
Wow, got everybody, huh?
Where do you think Marcus Mariota ranks in it?
Well, I cheated because I
Well,
looked.
You did cheat. He's ranked 17th on this list, which I have a bit of an issue with. And, you know, that we'll go through the rankings ahead of Marcus.
Okay.
In this list. So, number one, Aaron Rodgers. Number two, Tom Brady. Can't go wrong with those two. Matt Ryan at number three. Ben Roethlisberger, 4. Russell Wilson, 5. Drew Brees, 6. Derek Carr, 7. Andrew Luck, 8. And I think the two of us would agree those 8 are kind of in a league of their own when it comes to quarterbacks in the NFL. After this, it you know, there's kind of a second tier.
Yeah, I mean, I could argue with the sequence of those, but I think you're right.
If you put those 8 in a blender,
yeah,
I mean, those are the elite of the elite right. in the NFL. Would you agree?
Yes.
Number 9, Matt Stafford. Number 10, Cam Newton, or some people call him Scam Newton. Number 11, Kirk Cousins. 12, Eli Manning. 13, Dak Prescott. 14, Philip Rivers. 15, Joe Flacco. 16, Andy Dalton. Number 17, Marcus Mariota. What is your reaction hearing that quarterback ranking?
Yeah, I mean, I don't I mean, everybody thinks I hate Dak Prescott, and I don't hate Dak Prescott. I do not hate him. But anybody that puts Philip Rivers and
Joe
and
Flacco.
Marcus and Joe Flacco below Dak Prescott is a little shaky.
Little shaky.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think you can put Dak at 13 in the NFL. I mean, look, he had a great rookie year, 23 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. But let's see more out of him before he's the 13th best quarterback
Absolutely.
In the NFL, right?
I mean, that is, and the thing that's unique, and we're going to talk about this later on, but you get a guy like Philip Rivers, where would San Diego have been over the last 15 years without Philip Rivers?
Not as good as they were.
No, they'd win 4 or 5 games a year.
And over the last, 5 years, the Chargers haven't been as good, but that's not Philip Rivers' fault that he hasn't had, you know, big wide receivers. Keenan Allen's okay. I don't know if you would classify him as a true number one receiver. Antonio Gates is breaking down. He lost LT. You know, a lot of the pieces that were around him, you know, 5, 6 years ago are now gone.
And they've gone through a series of injuries that just one right after another. Danny Woodhead and, you know,
right.
guys that were players for him. So, but anyway, I mean, I think there are several people on there that you know, you could probably slide up ahead of Dak.
The most confusing thing to me is how Andy Dalton is rated ahead of Marcus Mariota. Andy Dalton. Look, Andy Dalton is an okay quarterback, but how is Andy Dalton ranked ahead of Marcus Mariota?
I mean, it's very simple. It goes playoffs.
Yeah, and how many playoff wins does he have?
How many playoff wins or appearances?
Wins. Oh. I have as many playoff wins as
but
Andy
not
Dalton.
As many appearances.
No, but he...
And how many does Marcus have?
0.
Okay.
But he's still in his second year. Now, Andy Dalton did come out guns a-blazing as a rookie. You know, the Bengals were really good in his first, 5 years or so?
Oh, yeah.
But 81 interceptions in 6 seasons isn't a great number for a quarterback. And he's getting paid like a great quarterback. And when you look at Marcus, I mean, Marcus is elite in the red zone. 33 touchdowns, 0 interceptions in his career. I mean, that is mind-boggling. what Marcus has done inside the 20-yard line.
Especially for a young quarterback.
Yes.
I mean, that is off the charts, because that's usually the red zone is an area that any young quarterback will battle to at some point in time get pretty good at, just because everything is so constrained. If you can throw in the red zone, you should be able to throw with confidence and with accuracy any place on the field. Because what happens in the red zone is everything is constricted.
Right.
Now the window that out in the middle of the field, the window that is 3 yards wide, is now a yard and a half wide or a yard wide.
Right.
So everything is a lot closer. Everything's a lot faster. Everything is has to be more precise.
And last season, after week four, the first 4 weeks didn't really go the Titans' way. I mean, they were still, you know, getting in the rhythm of the season. But once they beat Miami and they took off after that, they went. They had a 7-4 record after that.
Right.
And before Marcus got hurt at Jacksonville on Christmas Eve, he had a 7-4 record with 22 touchdowns and 3 interceptions. And really, the only true gaffe that I can remember that Marcus made in that time span was the fumble late against Indy at home when that game slipped away from them. Other than that, Marcus Mariota was lighting it up as a sophomore in the NFL. And he had a 95.6 QB rating for the 2016 season. It just boggles my mind that Marcus Mariota is rated below Andy Dalton.
Well, and what were Andy's numbers? Were they not similar?
He had 18 touchdowns and 8 picks last year.
Oh, that's a lot of picks. Not a lot of touchdowns.
Right.
But it's the same thing. I mean, he had A.J. Green get hurt. I mean,
Giovanni Bernard got hurt.
Yeah, the Cincinnati team last year is not the Cincinnati team that it was prior.
Correct.
3, 4, 5 years, or whatever it was.
He also lost Mohamed Sanu to the Falcons. Yeah. That was one of his big pieces the year before.
The thing with Marcus, Marcus is close. I mean, we all know that. Marcus is progressing nicely. Marcus still struggles with the turnovers, really struggles with the injuries, which is, you know, at some point in time going to become a concern.
Would you call him injury prone?
I don't want to yet. I mean, I'm really fighting. No. Well,
we need to see him start 16 games
this year.
Yeah,
we need to see him play a couple of seasons and play them all the way through. Simply because, and I don't want this to sound ugly, but the injuries that he's gotten, it's not, you know, they weren't violent hits.
Right.
Now, the one, you know, who was it? Somebody in Atlanta, I think, caught him on the side of the leg, you know, 2 years ago and tweaked his MCL or ACL. But it wasn't. And then when he got hurt, when he got his leg broken, I mean, that was just a down below tackle. You know, now his foot got cut underneath. I understand all that. But it's not like you're standing back there and some guy blindsides you and your helmet comes off and the ball goes one way and, you know, it goes the other. So I don't want to get to the, you know, injury problem with him yet. But he does need to stay healthy. And he knows that. So that is no surprise. But I think he's progressing nicely. I think everything he does is the way you want it done, from a, you know, work ethic, paying attention to detail, all of those kinds of things. And like I said, what he's done in the red zone is truly magical now. That is truly special.
If it boils down to who would you want as your quarterback in the 2017 season, would you want Marcus Mariota over Andy Dalton?
That's I don't know.
Oh, you don't know.
I don't know. I'd have to think about that.
Would you want Marcus Mariota over Joe Flacco?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
So you would put Marcus ahead of Joe Flacco on this list?
Only because I have never been a Joe Flacco fan.
Okay.
When he won the Super Bowl, I thought to myself, well, you know, you don't know what the heck you're talking about.
There's
a Super Bowl caliber. But now we've seen him since the Super Bowl, and I'm starting to come back and think that maybe I did know what I was talking about. Just never have seen. I feel a lot better about Marcus at this stage than I did about Joe in his second or third year.
Okay. Now, you wouldn't put him over Phillip Rivers, Marcus.
You know, I mean, I might just because of age, but we all know what Phillip is.
I mean, Phillip Rivers is a proven commodity in the NHL. In the NFL.
Absolutely.
And he's had some big years with the Chargers.
Yep.
Been to the playoffs many times.
Yep. Legitimate quarterback. He'll always be – he'll always have the rap of not being able to win it all.
You would have Marcus over Dak, right? Dak Prescott?
I would, yes.
Would you put Marcus over Eli Manning?
You know, I really would.
I mean, Eli Manning in 11 of the last 12 seasons has thrown 14 or more interceptions.
Yeah. And Eli has turned it over. Eli has been, for whatever reason, you know, two strings of playoffs has been magical. I mean, he's truly been special.
Coming up next, we will continue this conversation. We both think that Marcus Mariota is a top 15 quarterback in the NFL. He's certainly better than Andy Dalton. What would it take for Marcus Mariota to become one of the elite? We think there's about 8 or 9 elite quarterbacks in the NFL. What will it take for Marcus Mariota to become one of those elite quarterbacks in the NFL? We will get to that next on Jared and the GM. You're listening to ESPN 102.5 The Game. Coming at you live from the Wholesale Inc. Mount Juliet Studios, this is Jared and the GM. Ryan Forth filling in for Jared Stillman on this Monday afternoon. Jared will be back in this chair tomorrow starting at 2 o'clock. I'm sitting here in studio alongside the GM, Floyd Reese. And Floyd, we've been talking about Marcus Mariota and how Athlon despicably ranked Andy Dalton ahead of Marcus Mariota in their NFL preview magazine. And if anyone wants to chime in on this conversation, 615-737-1025, you know, I'd be curious to hear where Titans fans feel like Marcus Mariota is compared to the rest of the NFL. And we would both agree that there are about 8 elite quarterbacks in the NFL, that it drops up that, you know, there's one tier, and that's, as Athlon would rank them, Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, Matt Ryan, Ben Roethlisberger, Russell Wilson, Drew Brees, Derek Carr, and Andrew Luck. And then there's a second tier that falls off a little bit after that top 8.
Right.
You would agree with that?
I think.
So what does Marcus Mariota need to do to become one of the elite quarterbacks that I just listed?
Well, I mean, what's happening with Marcus is the best thing ever for him. He's working his way. They've got the offense set up, so it's taking pressure off of him. So what he's able to do is he's able to go out on a yearly basis, learn, and show improvement, which he has done, and done very, very well. So, you know, they're going to continue with that. I think Marcus, at a point in time, will have to be able to put this team on his back. And that's the key. If you're the franchise quarterback, you're able to go into the Jacksonville game last year and pull it out. Find a way to pull it out. Now, I think he's already developed the ability to pull it out, and I think some of the team expects him to do it, but I think he does it within the team concept, which there's nothing wrong with that.
Right.
There's nothing wrong with that. But there has to be a point in time where he says, okay, you know, we're going to win this, and let me show you how. And when you get to that point, then I think you're the man. You're the guy. And everybody knows it, not just everybody in the huddle, everybody in the team, all the fans, everybody in the organization says, okay, he's the man. He's the guy. We all know that.
And you saw that a lot in your days as GM with Steve McNair.
Right.
There were many games in the fourth quarter, game on the line, and Steve McNair came up big time and time again.
And one of maybe the time that kind of got him over the top in my mind was he was hurt. We were playing Pittsburgh.
Yep.
And Neil O'Donnell. Is that what it was?
This is in the 2000 season.
Okay. Neil O'Donnell gets hurt. And we really don't have another quarterback.
Right.
And Steve comes off of his deathbed, goes out and throws a bomb, and we win the game.
Yep.
And that's when things like that, everybody just, from that point on, everybody goes, whoa, okay.
Yeah.
He's here. That's him.
And he had bruised his sternum a couple weeks prior
right.
at home against Kansas City. Were you surprised that he went into that game?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it hurt him. Yeah. I don't know if I ever told you this, but I mean, he came into my office at a point in time and said, you know, I'm done.
Done playing?
Yeah.
And he said he was done playing football.
And I said, what do you mean? And he said, when that guy hit me, he said, I couldn't breathe. He said, I really thought I was going to die.
Wow.
And I said, because I don't know if you remember the hit.
Oh,
I
yes.
I mean, it was a hellacious hit. And I said, now, Steve, I said, you'll be okay. We'll just, you know, we'll work our way through this and we'll pat it up and we'll take care of it and all that kind of stuff. And he said, oh, okay, and left and, you know, went out and played the rest of the time like it was never anything.
Yeah.
Come to find out, years later, and this was near the end of his career, he had gotten hit so hard in the sternum that he knocked a piece of the bone out of the middle of the sternum, knocked a hole in his sternum.
Oh, my goodness.
and he'd played, you know, the rest of his career with it, never thought anything about it.
Unbelievable.
But
he had that knack. I mean, there was another game at New York a couple years later.
Oh, yeah.
Where they looked completely out of it,
yeah,
and he willed them back into that game, ran in for a 2-point conversion to tie the game late in the fourth quarter, and he won in overtime.
And I went into the locker room after that, and he was laying on the table with the trainers convulsing because he was in so much pain that his body was like rejecting the pain or something. You know, I mean, it was – he couldn't breathe, he couldn't – I mean, it was unbelievable, but he had that ability and everybody saw that.
Right.
And everybody's, you know, from when you go through and do things like that, I mean, it's real easy to earn a lot of respect real fast.
So you would want to see Marcus Mariota not do something similar without having a cracked sternum.
Yeah, no, we don't need to get hurt.
We don't want that at all.
No.
But, you know, I look at games on the schedule this year at home against Seattle. That's a late afternoon game. You figure Fox, that's a big game in the NFL that day.
Oh,
you would
yeah.
think. Seattle at home, that's a big one. At Houston, it's time for them to beat Houston in a big game. You know, a game like that, or Indianapolis on a Monday night at home in October when they play them on the 16th.
Great. I mean, we haven't beaten them forever.
I mean,
have him go out and lead the charge and outplay.
Right.
Luck, you know. Now, is he going to outplay Luck the whole season? Probably not, but that game, it would really be nice to see him outplay Luck.
Right, and probably the one game where we saw him will the Titans to a victory last year, or helped will them, was at Kansas City when they were down, trailed by 2 touchdowns early in that game. He didn't throw a touchdown in that game, but man, Marcus really responded being down in that game and helped them, you know, come back and win.
And that's why I think when you look at him, you sense that it's there. And you sense that it's going to come. You know, it's a matter of time. But he's going to need, you know, the opportunity. He's going to need to go out and do it, which I know he understands all this. And I'm sure he's preparing for it. So, I mean, it's going to happen. But I think in order to get that respect and get that feeling from the team, you got to go out and do it.
Right.
You know, you've got to show them, all right, I'm going to win this thing for you some way, somehow.
615-737-1025 if you want to jump in on the conversation. We have been talking about how Athlon ranked Andy Dalton ahead of Marcus Mariota, and Nate wants to chime in on that conversation. Nate, welcome into Jared and the GM.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Yeah, you know, as a Cincinnati fan, it's funny. Boyd, I'm kind of with you as far as I don't know who I'd want to have, especially this coming season. You know what you have with Andy Dalton. He's not going to win you a Monday Night Football game.
And
he's probably not going to win you a playoff game. But he's probably going to finish all 16 games of the season. And this season with John Ross now on the other side of A.J. Green, I'm really excited to see what's going to happen there. With Marcus, his upside, his ceiling is probably higher than Andy's. But if he's only going to play 8 games out of the season, I don't know. With Andy Dalton, at least I know I've got A.J. McCarron behind him. You know, with Marcus, that scares me.
Thanks for the call, Nate.
And Nate brings up a good point. And you know, the thing that Dalton has to fight against is that he's not one of those just regular season quarterbacks, you know? And there are those guys that are good enough to win, you know, 9, 10, 11 games in the regular season, get you to the playoffs every year, and that's the end of it.
Right.
You know, this is where it stops. When that level of competition jumps, it's just enough that he can't quite compete where he needs to. And I'm sure he realizes this too, and I'm sure he's gonna really, really fight that. But I think that's the thing that is troubling against Dalton. And people talk about quarterbacks and they go, well, you know, it shouldn't all be based on winning championships. And I agree, it shouldn't all be based. And yet, if you can't get your team to the point where you can win the biggest game of the year, the Super Bowl, if you can't quite get there, then in my mind, you're really that notch below.
You're an average quarterback.
Yeah, not average, but you know, you're not sitting elite at the big boy table.
Right, the
as
big
we
boy.
Like to say.
Yes.
You know, you're not among the elite, because I don't care what anybody says, in order to win that game as a quarterback, you've got to do something special. I mean, it takes more than people realize. And there are a lot of guys that just can't do it.
Right.
Just can't do it.
Well, ask Tom Brady. He knows how to do it.
Tom Brady knows how to do it.
One thing that I haven't mentioned in this Athlon magazine is that they ranked Jameis Winston 19th behind Carson Palmer at 18. I'm sure there are talk shows in Tampa Bay that would be complaining about how Jameis Winston is ranked below Marcus Mariota, right?
I would agree.
Coming up next on Jared and the GM, we kind of look at the contract extensions coming up for the Tennessee Titans and the Nashville Predators in the near future, and how John Robinson and David Poyle should approach things in the now when the teams are on the way up competing, hopefully, for league titles. You're listening to Jared and the GM on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Coming at you live from the Wholesale Inc. Mount Juliet Studios, this is Jared and the GM. Ryan Porth filling in for Jared Stillman. He is off today. He'll be back in this chair tomorrow, sitting in studio alongside the GM, Floyd Reese, having a lot of fun on this beautiful afternoon in Music City. And before we get to more of the Titans and Preds conversation, Ian Safar, our great producer behind the board today, walked into the studio during break and informed us of an event that is happening tonight that Jared will be very interested in watching.
Worlds are colliding here on Jared and the GM. We have Jared's most favorite person, Mr. LeVar Ball, with Jared's most unfavorite person, the WWE. We'll be going colliding tonight. LeVar Ball will be making his debut on WWE, so we will have to check to see if Mr. Stillman is tuning in.
Oh, you guys are going to have to talk about that tomorrow.
Oh, sure.
Is he actually wrestling? Or
I don't think so.
Okay.
I think he's just as a hype man or something.
That would be a sight to see.
He'll probably end up in the ring at some point in time.
Probably.
He might get dragged in there. Someone might just drag him in there for the heck of it.
Do his best Michael Buffer impersonation. That would be funny. We're talking Titans, and here in a couple minutes we'll get to Floyd's thoughts on how the Tennessee Titans and the Nashville Predators should go about improving their teams but not spending so much money that they can't sign their good young players to extensions. But we have been talking about Marcus Mariota, where he fits among NFL quarterbacks, and Josh is on line one. Josh, thanks for joining Jared and the GM.
Oh, thanks, and thanks for taking my call, guys. And you know, maybe the GM may disagree with me, but I think Marcus is right at that point where he's right there at the cusp of being a top 10 quarterback. But I think the problem is that it's kind of like with a business. You have to learn how to manage a business before you can own a business, or else you're not going to be very successful. And I think that Marcus hasn't quite mastered the ability of managing the game prior to being able to go out there and just own the game from the initial snap. And I think once he learns how to manage it, you know, kind of limit the turnovers and stuff like that, that'll be the next step in his development, to where then it's okay, this is on my shoulders and I own it. Kind of like Tom Brady does. Every time he goes out there, you don't have to worry about Brady managing the game because he owns it from the second he steps out and does warm-ups. And you guys have a great day.
Thanks for the call, Josh.
Yeah, Josh has a good point there. I mean, I think there's a little bit to that. I think Marcus really knows football. You can tell when Marcus first got here, you could tell Marcus had been educated as a quarterback.
He lives for this.
He does. And somebody, you know, along his childhood, way back to Pop Warner or whatever his first, you know, real coaching situation was, he's been coached to be the quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
He understands being a quarterback. Now, he's when you get thrown in the NFL, you all of the rules are really the same, but the people you're playing with are totally different. And mm-hmm. I think it takes an adjustment period to take your rules that you've known and be able to insert them in the middle of, you know, 53 guys. And that's what his role is. You know, that's what he's trying to do. And it's not easy. And so I think as he matures and as he works his way into it, and as he gains more and more respect and more is placed on his shoulders, I think we'll see a bunch of the real Marcus come out. And I'm going to tell you what now, and you know how I am with young quarterbacks,
mm-hmm.
but I'm really excited about it.
I mean, this is a big year for Marcus. And, you know, I wouldn't say it's a make or break year for Marcus.
No.
He has proven that he's on the up and up, and hopefully that trend continues this season. It seems like he's a 180-degree turn from, say, Michael Vick, who a year or two ago I read a story where he didn't even watch film
right
in his early days with the Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah.
I mean, that's insane.
And that's where I think, you know, you have a guy like Marcus that's been educated in the quarterback position, and he'll do all of the things you're supposed to do. I mean, you hear people talk about Marcus, and one of the first four or five attributes out of their mouth is his work ethic.
Mm-hmm.
And so you know he's spending the time and doing the things that he needs to do. And I think it's all a process, and he's going to mature into it. And it's just something that doesn't happen overnight. And you've heard me talk about quarterbacks and how, you know, the education of a quarterback is more than just what, you know, where you throw it inside the 20 in the red zone, or where are you going to put it, throw it on third down, or where, I mean, there's a lot to it. And so, I mean, his plate is constantly packed, I promise you.
Don't forget to sign up for our Michelob Ultra Foursome Golf Contest. Michelob Ultra, Mapco, and the Game Nashville are giving one lucky winner and three friends a chance to experience the Ultra Foursome at four prestigious golf courses in Middle Tennessee, as well as passes to the Nashville Golf Open, which is coming up this week. To sign up, visit thegamenashville.com/Michelob Ultra Foursome. And, you know, when you look at the Tennessee Titans, and Marcus Mariota is a big part of this equation that I wanted to bring up with you, the looming extensions that John Robinson is going to have to give out are going to be big. And it starts with Marcus, with the Derek Carr contract last week for the Raiders. I mean, we're probably looking at an even bigger contract for Marcus Mariota if he continues to improve, if he gets the Titans to the playoffs, if he becomes that top-level quarterback that we've been talking about, you know, with his potential.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to cost the Titans a whole lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Taylor Lewan and Jack Conklin are also in that realm of, you know, when their next contract when their contracts come up, they're going to get hefty extensions, especially if Jack Conklin continues to improve. You know, he had a great rookie year. And I'm sure if you're John Robinson, you're tempted to go out and make a splash of some sort, especially if the Titans make the playoffs next year, if this becomes a hot destination for free agents to come. And if you're John Robinson, you're going to have to be careful of not spending a whole lot of money on free agents so that you have the room to sign guys like Mariota, Lewan, and Conklin. And the same for the Nashville Predators goes for David Poyle.
Mm-hmm.
When you think about Ryan Ellis and Roman Josi and some of the other younger players that You know, Poyle right now is trying to find a way to add some forwards to the offense. And you don't want to do that at the expense of not being able to give money to Ryan Ellis and Roman Josi in a few years when their contracts come up. So as a GM, how would you go about it if you're John Robinson and or David Poyle? In the now, you're a contender. The Titans are maybe a year behind where the Preds were. How would you go about it if you were J-Rob or Poyle?
Well, I think in J-Rob's situation, his is they're both kind of unique. But his is unique because the NFL, there's a lot of cap money. You know, there's a lot more money in the NFL than there is in the NHL. I'm talking about the amount of cap and the room that they have. Now, when you think about the fact that, let's just say Marcus signs a contract in 2 years. I'm just throwing numbers out. Well, right now, Derek Carr just signed for $25 million. So if he follows the timeline of Derek and ends up signing in 2 years, it's going to be for more than 20. If it's 25 now, it's going to be 27, 29, 30, whatever that number is. So you say, let's just put it at a minimum, say 25 for him. Well, now you've got a Pro Bowl left tackle that's going to come up. I mean, his is going to end up being, you know, another 10, 12, whatever that number is going to be. So, I mean, before you blink, you've got almost $40 million out of your cap on a yearly basis right there. Whack.
Right.
That does not take into consideration, and you have to go through and look at it position by position. But I think, you know, you look at a Ben Jones. You think Ben's going to be important? You know, you look at DeMarco Murray, and I have no idea what his contract situation is. But, you know, you look at that. You look at the receivers. You look at a Delanie Walker. You go over on the other side of the ball now and look at that group of safeties and look at Logan and look at the linebacker. I mean, there's a whole group of guys that are going to come up, and you have to be very, very careful about the fact that every free agent you go out and sign could very well eliminate somebody that's already on your roster. So when you go out and sign somebody, you have to sign them with the eye that this guy that I'm signing right now and paying all this money is going to take over for X, you know, whoever right. that player is. And then when it comes time to it and X comes in and says, hey, my contract's almost up, and you know, it becomes, yep. I mean, we understand that.
After the break, we're going to pick up this conversation where it left off, but we have to pay some bills. You're listening to Jared and the GM on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back into Jared and the GM, coming to you live from the Wholesale Inc. Mount Juliet Studios. Ryan Porth filling in for Jared Stillman. Jared will be back in this chair tomorrow afternoon alongside Floyd Reese. Floyd and I have been talking about for the last, you know, 10 minutes about how GMs, especially the two in our city, John Robinson and David Poyle, should go about trying to improve the team, but without affecting extensions in the long run. And you were talking about, you know, how DeMarco Murray's contract is going to come up. There's a lot of key contracts that will come up along with Marcus Mariota, Taylor Lewan, Jack Conklin, all these cornerstone pieces that the Titans feel they have. So, Floyd, my question to you is it the general manager who's keeping a big board in his office? Like John Robinson, does he have a big board in his office kind of mapping out the future contracts? Or, you know, maybe it's not a big board in his office. Maybe it's an Excel spreadsheet on his computer where you have this amount of money budgeted for this offseason so that you're not affecting the off seasons in the future that you can't sign a Lewan or a Conklin or guys of that nature.
You know, Vin Marino, who is his cap guy, is excellent at all this. He is really, really good. And I've known Vin for a long time, and he is super. So I'm sure Vin provides him with information on a daily basis about where things are going. And the thing that's important is it's just like with this car deal. You say in your mind, you had it worked out where you said, okay, we're going to be able to sign Marcus in 2 years for $25 million a year.
Right.
Well, Carr just blew that up.
Yeah.
So next, so you know, as soon as that deal's done, you go running back in there and say, you know, that 25 just jumped to 28 or whatever
right.
number you anticipate. So that gets very, very hard. The one that's interesting, David and his situation, I think is very interesting from this standpoint. They've got to be much, much more in tune with what's out there,
right?
What's going to help them and their guys, because David has less money. David has, not as much room. So his signings, every time he signs somebody, it directly affects a whole series of contracts. And he knows it. I'm not telling him anything. He doesn't know. But the point is that he really has to be careful. And if there's some guy out there in free agency he sees and he falls in love with,
mm-hmm.
he says, geez, look at this guy now. This is a guy we really want. Well, if he thinks he can get the guy for $4 million and it costs $5 million, well, that $1 million is going to come out of one of these young guys
right.
that are coming up's contract. And so, you know, you have to weigh those back and forth. Is it worth signing a 37-year-old guy when I'm going to hurt one of these 24-year-old guys?
Right.
And that's I think, his dilemma.
And I think that, you know, that's something that we're going to get into a lot deeper next hour when we break down the Preds situation and what's available to them. But you brought up the situation that David Poile is in. If he had gone out and signed TJ Oshie, for example, TJ Oshie, you know, really good scoring winger for the Washington Capitals. He just re-signed on Friday, 8 years, $48
million. Yeah.
I mean, that's almost $6 million a year.
Yeah.
And if he were to give a similar contract to TJ Oshie, let's say, I believe the cap or the maximum when you're an unrestricted free agent is 7 years. If you give TJ Oshie a 7-year contract worth almost $6 million a year, that's going to eat into the available money to re-sign Ryan Ellis and Roman Josi. And if you're able to sign those guys, Ellis and Josi, then you may not be able to sign a Kevin Fiala when his contract is, when he's due a big payday, if he turns into the goal scorer that we think he is.
Exactly right. And that's his dilemma. Is you want, I know he wants to go out, or I, given his history, he wants to go out and say, okay, we need to go see if we can find a scorer out here, and it's going to, you know, that's one of the things that we maybe need. So he finds somebody, and he feels good about them, and they want to be a Pred, but then it becomes a matter of money.
Right.
You know, and the decision is not always, do I want this guy, and will this guy help us? Because I can say yes to all that. But are you willing to sacrifice what it's going to do to these other guys down the line?
And the Chicago Blackhawks are a perfect example of
this. Great example of it.
Because even back before Stan Bowman became GM of the Blackhawks, and Stan Bowman is a really good general manager in the National Hockey League.
Yep.
When Dale Tallon was the GM of the Blackhawks, he signed two guys to monster contracts when they were in a similar position as the Titans, when they were just up and coming. They weren't contenders yet. They weren't to the point of winning a Stanley Cup. It was, I believe, the offseason before, where they went out and signed Marian Hossa to a monster contract and Brian Campbell, a defenseman, to another big contract. And those two contracts alone really hampered their ability to keep a lot of the young players that were coming up
through
the system. After they won the Stanley Cup in 2010, they had to get rid of Dustin Byfuglien. I mean, Dustin Byfuglien on that Blackhawks team was superb. And then a couple of years later, they had to get rid of more key pieces to the core because they had those guys, especially the host contract, under on their salary cap.
And that, I think that's what's interesting. And you go back and reflect on our series this year, and one of the things that I felt great about was our depth. You know, we had people, we were playing that, our defense was off the charts good
right.
for that series. So you were really felt good about the fact that, hey, these guys aren't going to score a bunch of points now.
Right.
We just need to find a way. Well, every night, somebody new would take a turn, score a goal.
Right.
You know? We'd shut them out, win 1-0. Hey, that's great. Move on. But I think you really saw our depth. And I think with them, even though they had two or three or four, however many great, great players, they really lacked in depth. And I think it ended up, you know, wearing them out at a point in time.
Right. And the Preds had that depth.
Absolutely.
You know, that's a credit to David Poile, A, for the drafting that he's done over the years, where they have young guys like Kevin Fiala in that series was a factor. Colton Sissons in that series was factor.
Yeah.
And the depth pieces that he picked up, you know, along the way, either before the season or during the season, like a Harry Zolnerchuk, like a Cody McLeod and Vern Fiddler, were two veteran additions in the middle of the season that scored game-winning goals in the second round against St. Louis.
Well, he's done a great job at that. He's also done a great job at getting these young guys that are making $600,000 and saying, I'll pay you $2 million
right.
for 6 years.
Like Callie Yarncroke.
Exactly. And what he does is the player's happy. He's getting a heck of a raise. He's getting some security. He's got it for, you know, X number of years. And David is getting a player that you know, the first year of the contract he's overpaying, but in 2 years, it's a heck of a deal for the club.
Right.
You know. And so I know he's been as good at that as anybody in the league.
Coming up next here on Jared and the GM, why trading for Matt Duchene may not be the problem solver for the Nashville Predators moving forward. We'll get into that and a lot more on Jared and the GM. You're listening to ESPN 102.5 The Game.